Howdy, friends. You're listening to WVFF 97.7, and this is the Bearheart Show. Just two good old boys telling you what you should already know. So have a seat, relax, and get ready for some mighty fine radio. This is Bearheart.
This is WVFF, and we are at the Bearheart Show. This is Vernon Bear and
Brandon Earhart.
There we go.
Put it together this time.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, been a while since we've seen y'all. Well, the hell, we ain't seen you at all.
That's right.
It's radio. You really think there was something about those drones, or was it just a few drones got videoed, it got on the news, and then everybody that had a drone started flying their drone?
So there's
I don't know.
So here's the one.
We don't know. Go ahead.
Did you see, there's a video out there, and it was the gentleman that was... This was the Tesla that blew up in front of in Vegas,
the
right?
Hotel. Yeah.
Did you guys see the whole story on that?
No.
Of course not. The
What did you see?
So what it is there's a podcast out there, a webcast, whatever type thing. So the guy that's in the vehicle, number one, he has a history. He's of special forces, right?
Yep.
If his intent is to destroy something, you don't do it in a bulletproof vehicle, right? So the suspicion is, why would he do that in there? But he also came up to the venue, the hotel there, in a vehicle that could drive itself to the hotel. Yeah. He had a bullet in his head. The car exploded.
Hello.
When did the bullet go in, right, is the question. Yeah. But then, so prior to that event, there was emails sent from him to another gentleman who does podcast, and he got onto this other one here, and I have to find the names here for you, but they're all out there. And the reason is, he's got two justifications in his manifesto, if you will, that were for what was going on. Was, these guys are following me, they know I have a VBID, a vehicle-borne IED, which that Tesla, right? And I think it was nothing more from decoration than to get attention. But he said there's two events. There's one that happened in Afghanistan, which has been validated, where there was potential war crimes committed, or for review at least, at the most. And the other was the drone situation and the propulsion systems that were being used in those drones and everything else, something that one only the U.S. and China had at this time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So then the theory being that he's identified what this is. He knows that there's something off the coast, not Iranian, which was suspected already, that was launching the drones, but it was a Chinese submarines or something launching these drones over, much like the balloons that already came over under the Biden administration, because he's being followed. But then the question became later, there was a one of the PR reps from, and I forget what administration, what division it was from, but came out and basically said, and tried to lay on this piece about whether there was a concern because the remains in the body didn't match the remains of the child.
That's
so maybe this individual
did it
because, you know, it wasn't his kid kind of deal.
That's what my wife said.
But you roll back to the other piece of it is, you're in a vehicle that could drive itself up, and they showed a picture of the ID card that was burned. Couldn't recognize anything other than that kind of deal. But this is a body that pulled up, and so the suspicion is now whether or not it's another body in that vehicle that didn't match that child for a reason, because it's not him, and maybe he's still walking. This was his opportunity to get away and go somewhere else. So you plant a body in the vehicle that's got a bullet hole in it already from a 50 cal pistol, nonetheless.
Cool. Which, gee, my nannies. There wasn't much left of the head after that.
Right.
The Tesla truck can drive itself?
Yeah, you program it. Yeah, they're self-driving. Yeah. I think I saw a video. It's comical kind of deal. It wasn't legit, but it was like, oh, no, they're not self-driving. There's somebody in the Philippines watching on the video frame and driving for you. But, but you can program into it. This is where I want to go to, and it would take you there. And that was the idea. So if I put a body in this vehicle, right, and if I burn it from the inside out, nothing is left remaining, right? There you have it. Yeah. So maybe this was an opportunity for that individual who spent decade plus in special forces to try to escape where he knows he was being followed because the information he held, and it was more incriminating on the stuff from the Afghanistan effort versus the drone stuff that's going on today, more implicating against the U.S.
Yeah. Well,
That's all hearsay, right?
I mean, if we start coughing or do a little bit of snuffling, just want you all to know that we've all been suffering from the crud as well. And we got at the end of 2024, and we're bringing it into the new year.
Bringing the crud in the new year?
So
leave that shit behind.
So if you hear us coughing.
Well, that's just predominantly you now. We've already beat it.
Oh, fine.
You guys started it, but you're ending it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I'll shift to a different one here for you, and it's tragic what's going on in California.
And
I say this because I have family out there, and they're not affected at this point, thank God, by what's going on. But I'm really curious to see how this transcends with the new administration on the aid being given. Because I know we're going to get it to the people. But I'll be honest with you, I think that if I was in a position of controlling the aid that's going to go to the people out there in California, is number one, that I would not let that governor control it.
Yeah.
I would not give him the money and let him distribute it because it's going to get squandered somewhere else.
And that's what Johnson said, and everybody's kicking his butt about, you know, wanting some conditions on this aid.
Yeah. There should be, because we see what California does with the funding, and this is coming from a guy who grew up in California, right? I saw when Nancy Pelosi came in office up there. I saw all these people, and I've seen the growth of it outside. And my family still is there, but if you give them if you hand them $10 billion in funding for relief for the victims of these fires, there will be no corrections to what caused these fires, and I'm not saying the cause of it. There'll be no correction to what you could have had in place to mitigate it, because they had too many things that could have mitigated the level. You can't always prevent a fire. I'll say that, right? Yeah. But you can be prepared to mitigate it, right? And everybody, I'll join you.
There you go.
Everybody is set up, and they're arguing, and they're so pissed, and they're angry at the insurance companies for pulling out.
Yeah.
But they're not listening to the whole story. Is the fact that they looked at the state. These are the people that are. Their profession is assessing risk, right? And they looked at the state of California, they looked at these areas and said, if you don't do these things, right, our risk remains at this level, and we're going to have to raise the prices. The state came back and they told them, you can't raise your prices that far. They said, that's fine. You either mitigate those risks for us, or we have to pull out. Yeah. We're not going to do it, right? And when the professionals that say you are at a higher level of risk for this, we can't cover you, and they have to pull out, it should be a clue, right? You have all these things going on. He's trying to save a fish that has no impact.
The base melt.
It has no impact on the food chain, right?
Exactly. Like
there's certain.
It's not even endangered.
They said, well, gone or something already.
No.
They were trying to recover it. They were trying to cover it, right? But it's one of these animals. Like we have where I grew up at. It was a red something or other. It was a minnow right up in the stream. But it has no impact on the remainder of the food chain. Same thing with this one they're trying to save. But even same thing, again, it's the appeasing the whole, where we've gone at, and I would say we've climbed over the last 6 or 7 years to this piece of the DEI kind of stuff. And then the catering to everything environmental was. We should have learned it in the Paradise Fires in California, right? You can't clean the forest. You cannot clean the fuel, the rotten wood.
I heard a report. Okay, back in before man's age, right?
Before the age of man. Okay.
Well, before the
going way back.
The white man settled California.
Yeah.
Okay, they would lose around.
Well, Mexico had it first, but go
40.
Ahead. We stole it.
40,000 acres.
Oh, but we
paid. And again, double check my figures. Okay, they would lose 40,000 acres a year in forest fires.
Natural fires. Right? Yeah.
Natural fires.
They're gonna have.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was before
nature taking care of itself.
Exactly.
Lightning strike.
Now
clean the forest.
Now we came into the picture. We became smarter. We said, oh wait, if we clean up those twigs and all that trash that's on the ground, then guess what? Then there wouldn't be as many forest fires.
Right.
And we got it down to like 200,000 acres, right? And so It was like, or 20,000 acres. Yeah. And again, I got these numbers all wrong. Yeah. But I'm telling you, just hear me out. Okay, so now, then the environmentalists came in and said, yeah, but the beetles need something to eat.
Right.
Yeah. And so we cannot cut down any trees, even though they're dead. We can't cut them down. Yeah. And we can't clean up any trash or broken limbs that have fallen on the ground or pine straw or blah, blah, blah. We can't do none of that because the beetles might starve.
Yeah.
And our forest fires went from 20,000 a year acres to 400 back to 200,000. It just about went back to what it was before man came on the scene.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get there's certain balances that you have to maintain out there, and because we affect nature, right? Nature's not whatever. We're going to change it. We're going to affect the flow of the animals, the beetles, and all the other stuff, right? But there has to be balance, too. How many beetles do you need? But if you have something that you've already proven doesn't affect the food chain in one fashion or another, if I can't eat that minimum, I'm going to eat that minimum.
Yeah.
I still got food, right?
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's going to be okay. The beetles, same thing. That on that piece right there, it's like, and I remember that stuff coming around because when I was a kid, we can get a permit to go to the forest and go hunt. Or not go home. Sorry,
log beetles.
Take out firewood. take out firewood from the forest. Yeah. But you could only, as a household, you could only take 10 cord of wood.
Holy cow!
And I think that that went away. That reduced over time because of the piece with the beetles and the bugs and everything else. Right. It was like it was that simple solution. Goes, you need this home for the beetles. Well, how much housing do they need? Yeah. Well, we don't know. They just give it to them, all to it, right? Just give it all. So you can't take, and you couldn't clear out the forest anymore.
Right.
You know, I mean, it seems like in Somerville out here, it's like you can't cut down a pine tree.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not because of bugs, whatever, because it's the forest and the pines are the
see what Hugo thought about that when it
came through. Right, yeah. They come through. Yeah. But it's like you have to, and people lose, and it's the same thing with hunting as well, right? There's land management, there's animal management, because yes, we do affect the environment around us, but that means we need to do our part and manage it, not stop our impact. We can't stop our impact on it. We cannot.
Exactly, but at the same time, I put human life before beetle life.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, when you put beetle life ahead of human life, and you burn down half of California, and there's been 20 deaths already, which is, they think that'll go up.
When are we going to preserve the working class white male?
Right. Well, unfortunately, not really a lot of working class. That is the, unfortunately, and again, it's sad for anybody to lose their home. Now, those are the higher...
Homes,
but it doesn't matter because they lost their home.
Yeah, but you've got homes in Malibu that were sitting there for the last 30, 40 years, right? And at that time when they were built, it cost them $2 million to replace them because State Farm and everybody else was pushed out of California, and that's what it was. They were pushed out. They didn't decide to leave. They were pushed out. So you cannot be angry at the insurance company. The insurance company tried to tell the state.
Yeah.
These are the risks. You need to fix these so we can keep our costs. But because the other side of it, too, is they drove up the cost of the rebuild cost, right? Yep. So you have your cost you paid for it on your insurance, or you have a rebuild cost.
Right.
If you're following rebuild costs, your insurance is going to go up every year. And it's gone so far escalated that the $2.5 million that the state program, I think it's a $3 million cap on California developed their own state or own fire insurance for people once State Farm and everybody else pulled out, and there's a cap on over $3 million. Go try to build a house in Malibu on a cliff somewhere for $3 million. It ain't gonna happen. You could do it based on code 17, 20 years ago, but you can't do it based on today's code, the way they put that into place today.
And that's kind of where my point is. As far as the houses that have gotten burned down, they're on another level from what we're living in. I mean, those people knew part of their risk. They built there. They purchased there. Yeah. They knew the California laws. Yeah. They knew that no trees could be cut down, no debris could be cleaned up, and yet they chose to live there. And yet, that fire is going to affect the whole entire United States. Your insurance, I promise you, is going to go up because of the money that's going to have to go into California.
But you look at your insurance costs have already go up, and your home insurance and everything else has already gone up over this last administration because the cost of everything else has gone up.
Yeah. But it's going to go more now because of this fire that's out there. And I didn't choose to live there.
Yeah.
I didn't choose not to clean up the brush that accumulates on the ground. Why should I have to pay for that?
Yeah, exactly. You live in California. I mean, is the Palisades someplace you would think would ever burn down?
Not when I was growing up there. But the way they changed the rules, regulations, and everything else, it's suspect because you can't literally. It was the same thing in the Paradise
Fire. Was there forest right up to the Palisades? Or
no, it was so dry. It's the same thing. I was out there, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. I was in Oxnard doing some work out there, and then we had the fires running through there. It was like in the afternoon, the way the wind would shift. Because in the morning, the wind always blows in from the coastline. In the afternoon, it would come out, right? Yeah. It would shift. But in the afternoon, that wind would carry in the fire, the smoke from the fires out there at that time. And it literally, you couldn't see across a parking lot, short parking lot, you know, 40, 50 feet, you couldn't see across it. But
the sad part is, and I know our mega media are, you know, I worry about them, but they made a mistake or not and showed the Palisades Reservoir.
Yeah.
It was totally empty.
It was.
Now, they had already signed a contract to fix it because it was supposedly broken. It was a
torn cover or something.
Torn cover because the reservoir has to maintain clean water. So they had a cover over top of it that had gotten a tear in it. It was going to cost them $20 million to fix this daggum thing.
But
it had already been approved to fix. It has not been scheduled to fix until like November of this year.
Yeah. And it's empty like for like six months, right?
Right. And then they showed, mega media, showed fire hydrants with their covers off because they went to go and tap into the fire hydrants. There's no water.
But the whole thing is ridiculous because it needs to be covered. No, it doesn't. A reservoir is moving water. It comes in from one end and it has a spillway on the other end, right?
Yeah.
But this is...
to keep the from evaporating or what?
But it's stupid things they're trying to protect you from that you're protected from further down the line too, right?
This is not drinking water. What the heck do they care?
But it can become later on, whatever depends.
But then it goes through the water.
Right, it goes through another process. And it's
primarily for putting out fires.
But it's California rule.
But it's like somebody telling
you, we want to cover it so birds don't poop in it. You know, who cares? I'm putting out a fire with it. I don't care if a bird poops in it.
It's like you tell me you can't use a number two pencil because it's got lead in it.
No, wait.
Don't eat the freaking pencil.
Why do you need a reservoir to put out fires? You got the Pacific Ocean right there.
Right. Well, they don't have
pumps big enough, evidently, to pull it from the ocean.
The other piece that drives me wild, right, is I remember it, and it was
salty water doesn't put out fires very well. I don't know. I'm guessing here.
But you would know. You were in the Navy.
Shut up. The salt water put out our fires just fine.
Where do you pump the water from on the flight decks on this ship, right?
Exactly.
But I give you this too, though, is when I, this is what drives me freaking batty about California, even before the fires, right? Because the...
That's why you live in South Carolina?
Yeah. That's why I haven't got... No, yeah. I live out here for another reason, but it's the reason I haven't gone back. It's a strong reason why I haven't gone back. But this is one thing that drives me nuts, right?
The fact
that
it's
blue. I remember when... early, mid-80s, 85, 86, somewhere on there, we had some wicked rains come through. Like, we had, on our property, we had a landslide came out.
Oh my gosh. Now they're claiming that there's going to be houses that are lost due to the mudslides that the water to put out the fires have caused.
Yeah, and it's possible.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, but it just popped in my head.
So we had these storms come through there, and then I remember my uncle being one of the guys in the union, right, working on when they saw these things, the flooding and the problems that we had because of those storms that year, is they said, okay, they came up with this plan across California, and they developed these wonderful aqueducts, right?
Wide,
capture all the water. We're going to pump it all to the reservoirs. So we can capture all this water, because the drought in California is nothing new, right? We're going to capture all this water. So we push it to the reservoirs. Now what do? We get a heavy rain. The dumbasses open the frickin' gates and on the spillways and let the water out. Because they don't trust the dams they built. You have Army Corps of Engineers, you have your own engineers, you inspect the dams, make sure they're working right, properly.
But that rolls back to
Somebody's
brother-in-law got the contract, and they cut some corners.
Well, that goes back to South Carolina's nuclear plants, and that's all, you saw where that all went.
Whatever, it was like 6 years ago or so when one of the dams did break in California, and it caused additional damage. It was like, okay.
Additional?
So because
wow.
From the addition to the storm itself.
Right.
Right. But because of that one right there, now when it rains, they just start dumping out freaking water. Like, California doesn't have a water shortage. They have a water management problem. Because enough comes down the way they can capture it, but they don't capture it. They don't maintain it anymore. Right. They came up with that plan. When they built those aqueducts, they had a plan to eliminate our drought problem. Now, if you're watering your lawn on a Wednesday, and you're only allowed to do it on a Thursday, you're going to get a ticket in the mail.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Isn't that crazy?
They got farmers in California that have wells on their land, and they put meters on them.
Yep. They can't pump the water.
They don't own the water in their own well.
I talked to a guy a couple months ago, and he had to shut down half of his farm because he was consuming too much water by California state regulations. The state came in and put meters on his well and said he can only take X amount of water out of his wells.
I'd have one well for them to look at and three more hidden wells.
No joke. But you have states, too, where they tell you you've seen the systems where your rain water, your runoff from your roof, captured in a barrel. There are states where you can't do that.
Why?
Yeah, I just heard about that.
Yeah, no, it's everybody's water.
Oh, because it's not going into the ground.
It's not going back into the ground. It's not going into there. It's not your water. It's everybody's water.
Like rainwater.
There are some states where you can do that. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? We're talking the height of stupidity here.
Communism, man.
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, but all of it boils down to, I think, to in that piece about we have droughts in these areas and these areas and everything. It's the population, right? When we go vertical and we're trying to consume all the resources in this area versus across the entire United States, look at this, spread out. Just spread out. Drive a little bit further away. We're going to consume more fuels. Whatever. Just spread out a little bit further. You'll find yourselves to be happier, not stacked up vertical. It's ridiculous.
All I can say is California is bankrupt. Mega blue state.
It's beyond bankrupt.
All kinds.
But the shame is
rules and regulations.
The shame is,
Illinois,
a lot of places
bankrupt. Chicago, all kinds of regulations. New York, bankrupt. All kinds of regulations. I mean, hello. Biden says that the blue states are better than the red.
They're run better. That's what he said. That's what he said.
I don't know.
But all of those states.
I can't figure it out.
All have the strictest gun laws. Everything you name just have the strictest gun laws.
Yes.
And they have the highest crime rate.
Yes. Hello. Yeah. Hello. What is up with that?
Yeah. Spent a lot of time down in the Dominican Republic, right? And down there, they have their laws, but everybody
has. I still
want
to go.
I don't know.
I'm waiting.
You get into a taxi down there, I guarantee that taxi driver has a 45 in his. Alongside of a seat.
I understand, there's 45 people in that taxi, but I mean.
No, there's a Publico. That's a Publico. That's
Publico.
Yeah. You have taxis, you have Publicos, you got Publico. Motor Conches, another one.
Yeah.
They're different modes of transportation.
Moped had 10 people.
But every pharmacy, every store you have sitting out there has a guard with a shotgun, right?
So there's
guns are exposed, they're everywhere. It's just part of the daily life. It's not like the Old West where they have guns, but they're just everywhere because you have guards and people have. The crime is pedigram. I'm going to steal your cell phone because it's clipped to your hip.
Pedigram?
Pedigrams.
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 Pedigrams. Right? They're just stealing the cell phones. It's like you don't have violent crimes down there for the most part. Rare occasion a baseball player gets shot.
Unlike a New York. Unlike Chicago.
Yeah, but the places with these high, these strong gun laws.
Yeah, big gun laws.
Very good.
They have
17 shootings every weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not working.
Tells me criminals are the only ones with guns.
Well, that's the problem.
You can believe that if you want.
Because when you
in Chicago, it is. I mean, yeah, the gun laws are so bad. Criminals are the only ones with guns.
I probably shouldn't say this, but I love you, Mom. But anyway, I went home for Christmas, and I was telling my brother-in-law about the two new guns that my sons have purchased because of Earhart.
Don't blame me. Do not blame me. And, I just showed them another world. They made their own choice.
And so my mother looks at me with this confused look, and she goes, "Why do you need all those guns?"
Yeah.
Why is need a requirement?
And I said, it's not need. I said, we just enjoy shooting them. I mean, it's fun to try to, you know, hit the bullseye with the gun, you know?
And I'll give you this, too. To an extent, there's that desire for one for protection, preservation, feeding the family. Right? I get that, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the other piece of it's enjoyment. It's fun.
Yes.
People forget
that.
It's a hobby, right? Right. But
she enjoys looking at Facebook. I enjoy shooting guns.
And now a commercial break. Stay tuned for more of the Bearheart Show coming up right after these messages.